On February 16th, this email account, registered only a month earlier, starts to upload a trove of files to GitHub.
Some of my friends from the industry and people I know say, oh, just look at this. This is huge.
It's a big corporate data leak to ring in the new year. And these files, internal messages, emails, chat logs, product marketing presentations, they tell the story of a corporate culture. It's honestly pretty familiar to anyone that has ever worked in an office. There's the usual stuff, urgent deadlines, people complaining about low pay or being overworked. There's people talking about whining and dining clients, about proposals and winning the big contract, about meetings that could have been emails. All the familiar stuff, it's right there. But if you keep reading, then you get to the unfamiliar stuff. You can start to put together a picture of how this company makes money, the kinds of products and services they provide, and who their clients are.
They claim they provide software development and network technology services.
Keep going and you're going to read all about how they're responsible for helping breach 14 governments around the world. You'll read about the custom hardware and snooping devices they sell, the software exploits they develop in-house. You're going to find out how much a data leak from this nation is worth versus this nation, how much they charge to get access to an individual's social media credentials. You will learn about how this company does contract work for several People's Republic of China agencies, including the Ministry of Public Security, the Ministry of State Security, and the People's Liberation Army. You will learn about the agencies they have been paid to hack within the governments of Rwanda, Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, Nigeria, Mongolia, Myanmar, Taiwan, India, and some shady stuff in Kyrgyzstan. The company at the heart of this leak is called iSoon. And with this data leak, we get a pretty unprecedented look at the inner workings of a Chinese state-sponsored hacking-for-hire operation.
What I always want to do, you know, from a cybersecurity perspective, threat intelligence perspective, to understand the motivation and intent of a given threat group.
When I imagine state-sponsored hacking, I imagine a big, tall, brutalist structure. Its name unlisted in any directory into which flows a steady stream of shadowy hacker mercenary people. But as with a lot of things, eventually the state looks to outsource, and things just gradually get corporatized. They turn to the private sector for consultants and vendors, they write RFPs, and they put out projects to tender and review proposals. Eventually, as we learn from the iSoon leaks, even state-sponsored hacking and international cyber espionage eventually becomes a very corporate job. It becomes work.
As a researcher, you try to understand the threat landscape about Chinese cyber operations.
When the iSoon files first appeared on GitHub, May Wandowski, a cybersecurity researcher, was one of the first people to really dive into it. And she wrote about what she found at length on her excellent Substack, NatoThoughts. And as the story started to go wide, her analysis became the foundation of a lot of the big reporting on it. I wanted to understand the leak a little bit better, so I called her up.
From what we understand from a hacking perspective, it's definitely hackers for hire.
This is my conversation with security researcher May Wandowski on the iSoon leaks, the ecosystem of hacking for hire companies in China, and what it means when shadowy work goes corporate. Here on Hacked. May, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down and talk with me about all this.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
So just to start, tell me a little bit about iSoon. What does this company do and how do they fit into the cybersecurity landscape in China?
Sure. So iSoon is a Chinese information security company. That's their official category. On their website, they claim they provide software development network technology services, you know, such as blockchain forensics and enterprise security solutions, as well as trainings. So the company was headquartered in Shanghai, one of the largest cities in China, but also with subsidiaries and offices like in at least four locations across China. And Sichuan Aisong, this is one of their subsidiaries located in Chengdu city and Sichuan province, was one of their considered biggest subsidiaries focused on research and the development. That's also their pen testing centers. That's just officially how they describe themselves. But what we understand, because a lot of their clients, they do business with all kinds of clients, you know, enterprise clients, individuals, and some of the Chinese government. But we don't really know at this point how big part their business is with Chinese government. But from the leaked document, we're going to talk about it, and we have understand a lot of their clients are Chinese government clients.
We are talking about this, as you said, because of this recent round of leaks that you have written about at length. Can you share the story of how these leaks came to light?
Somebody posted leaked on GitHub. I don't have a GitHub account, so somebody was telling me about this whole thing. There's something, you know, data's about an ISOM. Since I wrote ISOM at this company in last October, 4 months before this leak, some of my friends from the industry and people I know said, oh, just look at this. This is huge. So once I started looking at this leak, I was like, wow, this is just something I would never had the chance to know that much.
So these leaks appear on GitHub. Someone tells you to go read them, and you dive into this giant leak from Aisun. I think you describe them in some of your writing as providing kind of a window into the China's hacker for hire industry. What did we learn in these leaks?
We have learned so much. First of all, as a researcher, you try to understand the threat landscape about Chinese cyber operations. A lot of times we rely on open source information like me, mainly that's only source, open source information. But here we can see from insider to understand how they work day by day. That's just overwhelming for me, kind of like peek into somebody's private conversation, talk about their business, how they operate it. You know, I will never get the chance to do that. So yeah, it's just overwhelming just to know some of the stuff we understand is real.
Mm-hmm. A big part of it seemed to be the diversity of services that Aisun provides that go beyond what's on the website. It seemed like there was discussions about DDoS attacks, social media monitoring. Can you tell me a little bit about the services they offer and how that feeds into larger Chinese state-sponsored cyber activities? What kind of services did we learn about from these leaks?
So their services, you know, on the surface, they said, you know, software development and enterprise security stuff. So they actually had like patents, preparatory softwares related to do DDoS attack and how to do surveillance services. And some of the software they developed can provide a database to search all they call important person, literally the person the government need to watch for. So there's a variety of software at the service they developed to provide the product and the tools to the government clients and all the other companies, they needed, you know, working for the government.
So it's interesting. You know, so many of these, so much of what's in these leaks are internal communications between iSoon employees. And it gives you a sense of almost the work culture. Can you tell me a little bit about how the company operates? You know, how these big government contracts get won. There's a lot of discussion about how clients get glad-handed and taken out for drinks to try and win the big contract. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, that's definitely the most interesting part. Because previously, our understandings was the government handed tasks to the companies to task them to do things. But from the leak, what do we understand is that companies like iSoon, they literally try to court the government officials to get the contract to work, to try to do business with the government. So the process was not really easy for them to maneuver, because you had to understand, you know, who's in charge for what, you know, different regions, public security offices, you know, who was in charge. Then, you know, who, if we bid for a contract, how much we should bid on, you know, do, should we partner with somebody else? Then, you know, five companies do, we can have a contract with those four companies saying, you know, we're going to be trying to do this, you know, bid on this price, then you can be a bit lower or something. Then, you know, they call a company bidders. Then, you know, we will win it. After we win it, you know, maybe you can get a cut. We can cooperate on some other things together. So they tried so hard to maneuver that process, you know, to do business. And then also, it's already building up this community with the different information companies to partner with, to do this kind of business. It's not an easy process. It just shows, you know, that's why, you know, a lot of people wrote about it. And they talk about that too. We had to do late night drinkings, you know, go to the bars, the clubs, you know, try to entertain the clients, try to, you know, get more information about the contract and stuff. And sometimes also we understand they try to do a, like, educated guess what the client will want, right? It's not like, oh, maybe, you know, we just saw this policies, the China Developing Road and, you know, Belt and Road initiatives in this country. You know, maybe the client will be interested in this data. You know, let's see if we can get access for this kind of data. If we get samples, we can show them, say, oh, yeah, we have this kind of data. Do you think this is worth for you to look at it? Yeah. So that's, you know, how they do their business. My sense, you know, when I first read this whole thing, I was like, wow, that's so hard. This CEO, basically, from the chat, he works like from morning to late night, every 10. Like, they text each other saying, oh, we have this. What should we do? You know, it's not easy.
No. It's also just so different from what I think of when I imagine China state-sponsored hacking. I imagine a big building somewhere full of staff that never leave, that just do these tasks. And it sounds so much more like government contracts and companies bidding on them. It sounds so much more familiar to me than I was ever expecting.
Yeah, that's definitely the thing. You know, I felt the same, because before we were just understanding, oh, they do state-sponsored, if they belong to the state, then they very organized, and, you know, how they try to hide their tracks and then how they work on the things is more organized. But actually, same thing is not that case, you know, and just from looking into iSoon and the leaked document. But there sure. Might be, you know, some other more formal forces, you know, under Ministry of State Security or under Chinese military, that will be maybe different.
Sure.
But in this case, It's one of the kind for us to understand.
Right. These leaks don't necessarily mean that there aren't other types of state-sponsored hacking going on. It just means that there's probably so much of it that some of it needs to be outsourced to external vendors. Even the language of it just sounds like business jargon. And it's so interesting to me that it's what we're talking about is, you know, exploits that are going to be deployed around the world.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Fascinating. Okay, I want to understand the ecosystem a little bit better. I know from your reading that there's a connection between iSoon, an operation called Chengdu 404. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
So Chengdu 404, this company was indicted, three of their employees was indicted in 2020. So they were associated with one of the advanced persistent threats groups called APT41. Now we understand more about it from the leaks that this company actually operate as similar as iSoon, how iSoon operated. So they have a lot of connections with each other because they were very close in the same city in Chengdu. And very obviously, they know each other. They're buddies. They're drinking partners. They do business together. Then also, you know, from my first notice, iSoon is because there's a lawsuit between these two companies in October, a software development lawsuit case. So that's why, you know, make me dig deeper on understanding iSoon. So this company, after the indictment, they're still doing business as normal. They're still working the same thing as they did before. And also their company grows as well. So they have registered 17 more proprietary software. And they also get fundings from the local authorities as a small business. They hire people, more people, employees as they needed to, you know, to expand their business. So yeah, it's just the whole thing make us to understand is this is not just one company, it's many company doing similar things.
Sure. It's this ecosystem of companies bidding on projects together, suing each other, doing what businesses do existing in a marketplace. But the service they provide is hacking for hire, essentially.
Yes. From what we understand from a hacking perspective, it's definitely they are hackers for hire.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what that future of AI should be. And almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time, and in the new season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
Hey, Jordan.
Yes, Scott.
Why do you love Shopify? I love Notion. Why do you love Shopify?
I love Shopify because we wanted to make merch for a really, really long time, and it seemed like a big, scary, bad time. And then we actually embarked on doing it. And with Shopify, it could never have been easier. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Cha-ching. And Shopify is, and literally is, the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify helps you grow.
Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person point-of-sale system, wherever and whatever you are selling, Shopify, they got you covered.
Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify's magic, your AI-powered all-star.
Does Shopify power 9% of all e-commerce in the U.S.? No, they power 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. They're the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklyn, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, their award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way.
Because
businesses that grow, do it.
Because.
Dunk it. Put in the hoop.
Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify.
Okay, let's get down to the brass tacks here. You sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/hacked, all lowercase. You go to shopify.com/hacked right now. You can grow your business no matter what stage you're in.
Shopify.com/hacked.
Shopify.com/hacked.
Cha-ching.
In 2023, just 10 vulnerabilities accounted for over half of the incidents responded to by Arctic Wolf Incident Response. Wouldn't you like to know how to take them off the table and make life more difficult for cyber criminals? That's just one of the essential insights you're going to find in the Arctic Wolf Lab's 2024 Threat Report. Authored by our elite team of security researchers, data scientists, and security development engineers, and backed by the data gained from trillions of weekly observations within thousands of unique environments, this report offers expert analysis into attack types, root causes, top vulnerabilities, TTPs, and more. Discover the attack vector behind nearly half of all successful cybercrimes, where ransom demands climbed 20% from 2023, and find out why 2024 will be an especially volatile year for cybersecurity. Learn more and get your copy now at arcticwolf.com/hacked. That's arcticwolf.com/hacked.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question, right? I know I do. I know it is a point of contention in my household.
I'm terrified every day.
And all too inevitably, we order some takeout. You know, it's just the easier option, but it's never really satisfying. And I always end up spending too much money. There's the whole tipping aspect of it. I don't know. It's just a headache. And plus, it's like fast food. So if you rather enjoy eating a home-cooked meal without the stresses of planning ahead, Home Chef makes it really easy and saves you money.
Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. So whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-proportioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you and the entire family covered for delicious meals without the hassle.
Do you know they have over 30 options a week and they serve a variety of the dietary restrictions and needs? So if you have some complications, they should be able to cover you. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical and they deliver to customers and they save on average $86 per month on groceries.
Home Chef even has a delicious kid-friendly family menu with 18 new options each week. It's picky eater approved. And Scott, you and I both know I'm such a picky eater. And it takes the stress out of dinner time.
So for a limited time, Home Chef is offering listeners of Hacked Podcast 18 free meals plus free dessert for life. Mm. And of course, free shipping on your first box. So go to homechef.com/hacked. That's homechef.com/hacked for 18 free meals. And I'm reading this verbatim, free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/hacked. You must be an active subscriber to receive said free dessert.
You made reference to Advanced Persistent Threat 41, this hacking group. Can you tell me a little bit about what they are and what the connection is between APT 41 and these companies you've been describing?
So APT 41, now we know if what attributed to this Chengdu 404 company, and the three actors, three employees operated the company. So, because a lot of times when we gave an APT number, that's from industry understanding, is try to do a technical analysis about a threat group. But how do we understand, you know, who's behind the real person behind one APT group, that's sometimes we don't really get it that far. So this is the, you know, the time, you know, when through the indictment, we understand APT 41 is also behind it. 10244 was behind APT 41.
So this APT 41, this identified threat actor,
yes,
we learned is actually Chengdu 404, who we have learned from these leaks is in business with Isoon. It's quite the ecosystem.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Inside of China, how do these companies navigate this legal system? Is any of this illegal if it's coming from the state? How does the legal side of this all work?
That's a very interesting question. From my last writing about this question, try to answer this question.
Sure.
I don't think anybody in China thinking about, especially this company, think about what they do is illegal.
Sure.
Because their order, their task, their business is from the government.
Sure.
If the government asks them to do it, anything, that's legit.
Sure.
So,
yeah,
there's no consequences. So even Chengdu 404 is put on in an indictment from the U.S. Department of Justice, there's nothing to do with their everyday life. As long as they don't come to the U.S., they're fine.
To us, your contractors to a state-sponsored hacking campaign, to you, you're a military subcontractor.
Yeah.
You're just doing, you're just bidding on a contract from the government.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple weeks ago, officials in the States and the United Kingdom expanded this big list of hacking allegations claiming that China is responsible for breaching, I think, the UK election watchdog, accessing 40 million people's worth of data. They filed criminal charges against a different Chinese hacking group for this multi-year hacking campaign. How do these leaks and this larger ecosystem of hacking groups feed into those unfolding stories of state-sponsored hacking abroad?
I think that just means there's so many.
Sure.
And also, like, the reason why you just talk about it, the APT-31, then the actor was associated, actually was identified by one of the anonymous group, Intrusion Truth. So they identify some of the actors in the indictment. So what we were knowing now is just, this is sounds like unstoppable, right? You identify this, you try to stop, you know, one group and then the other groups are coming up. And also maybe this group probably existed long before the other group. We haven't really found out who they are, right? But we definitely, you know, from technical points, we know they are active actors. They were doing threat campaigns. They're doing the targeting different entities around the world, try to achieve the Chinese state strategic goals. So a lot of people are talking about this naming, shaming strategies. Does it work or not? You know, so far, we just felt like it's not that effective in a way. But what else we can do? We're still thinking.
Yeah, naming and shaming might not be effective, but it's not really clear what would be effective given what we understand about how this marketplace works.
Yeah, this marketplace and the scale of the threat campaign, mm-hmm, and how many companies working on this.
You've gone on this whole investigative journey. You've dove into these leaks. What areas of it do you think warrant more investigation, more awareness regarding their impact on global cybersecurity? What should we be looking at next?
That's really a good question. What I was always want to do, you know, from cybersecurity perspective, threat intelligence perspective, to understand the motivation and intent of a given threat group actors. Because from my understanding is, if you can understand why they do what they do, you can be more proactively to prevent what's going to happen next. So sometimes we, companies and entities, a government, if you don't know why they target you, you stop this one, then the other one will come up again. So if you know this is the reason they target us, or maybe I can avoid to let them know, I'll just do something else, then they might not target me or not doing what they do. So I think the most important things for us is understand their motivations, their objectives.
Sure.
Then we probably can not stop them, but will be less frequent in the way, you know, to prevent them to target us. But I think in the bigger scale about the power nation competition, that kind of like hard, you know, to stop. Because some of the threat of the campaigns they're targeting is more political, cyber espionage. So as we know, a lot of countries do that, right? Mm-hmm. So what do we want to stop a lot of before we talk about emphasize is the economic cyber espionage. So not still intellectual properties. So that's, you know, for a lot of company, you should know what's your crown jewel. Then you can protect it better.
Right. By knowing who is hiring these companies, we can make better assumptions about what they might be looking for. Sometimes it's intellectual property. Sometimes it's political dissidents. But without knowing where the money is coming from, we can't really figure out what their, to use your phrase, motivations and intentions really are.
Yeah, definitely.
I have one last question. It's a silly one. You've spent all this time reading through messages, emails, like business communications. Do these seem like good places to work?
Oh, you mean ISOM?
Yeah.
This company? No, definitely not. It's not really like a good place to work because everybody sounds like a little stressed. And the employees complained their pay is low and a lot of work.
Huh.
Yeah, and also the CEO, just from the CEO, so much struggle and just working day and night.
Interesting.
Then some of the projects, they don't even make money. And also the company kind of struggle too. They're saying there's at least three of their subsidiaries actually didn't make money for several years. So, yeah, I don't think it's a good place to work.
I find that surprising. I would have thought that the reason you get into this stressful, like politically contentious business is because the money must just be so good. And to hear that it's hard work, it doesn't pay that well, that's surprising to me.
Yeah. I'm not surprised you're surprised.
May, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me about this. Your research into this was fascinating and I think really important, and everyone should check it out. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me talking to you.
Appreciate it.